Well, I clapped loud that time.
You did. That's
fine. What's up with you, girl?
Not much. What's going on?
Yeah, what you thinking about?
I'm not thinking about nothing. Are you going to welcome the people that's listening?
What up, peeps?
I was waiting on you to... I feel like I always say that, so I was just waiting so on you funny. To...
What up, peeps? Welcome back to the Let's Make Out podcast.
We're welcome.
Where we make out all things what?
Love, life, and laughter.
That's right.
Who are you?
I'm Chad.
I'm Gabrielle.
And it's my beautiful wife and co-host, Gabrielle.
Babe ain't said it in a month of Sundays. He done forgot how to welcome y'all to this
forgot how whole to welcome podcast, to the podcast here.
How y'all doing? Hopefully you're well. Dang, that was it good?
Yeah.
That was a huge slur. Really. Please. Sorry, y'all.
I'm not sorry.
This
it was
is
good.
Not a ASMR.
Yeah, I'm not sorry.
Mukbang situation.
Some people probably enjoyed that sip.
Lord, let me show you how you supposed to sip. You didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, you hear that loud old gulp though.
I can't control how I swallow.
Okay, every time she's drinking water, like.
I have the loudest. It's the funniest. I don't know why it's so loud. I really try to not. And I just can't do it.
And every time we're like, it'll always be like a quiet time in the show we're watching or like a quiet moment. And all of a sudden, I look at her, I'm like, you just, thirsty, Shotty?
I can't. It's pretty funny.
It's
loud, my bad.
It's pretty funny.
How y'all doing today?
How you doing? Because I'm in a mood.
I think I'm in a mood because I know you're in a
mood. That's why I asked.
Every time.
You can't get in the mood because I'm in a mood.
I don't know how to not be in a mood because, babe, he rarely ever has moods.
I knew this what it was.
So whenever he's in one, it just automatically makes me in one. I got to work on that. What is that called?
I don't know.
When
because,
you are affected by other people's
feelings,
it just makes me be in a mood.
That's why I asked you when we started the podcast. I was like, what's wrong with you? Because I have a mood, and I've explained my mood to her, and it has nothing to do with Gabrielle.
My mood is your mood.
My mood is your mood, and your mood is my mood. We're going to both get better today.
Okay, all right. Way to keep going, because I didn't know where we were going with that. I don't know what that is. What is that called?
I don't know what it is.
I don't like it, though.
I don't either.
Because I'd be fine. Like, I mean.
Because when she gets in a mood, I don't get into a mood.
I know. You're really good at that. But I don't know how to not.
Every time I'm in a mood, which is rare, she'd be like, you ready?
I know you probably be thinking like, how the hell are you going to be in a mood when I'm in a mood?
You mad because I'm in a mood? I get to be in a mood once in a while. You get every other day. You get 30 days out the month. I get one. Okay.
Shut up. Okay. I'm sorry. I literally.
It's the
I don't
thing.
Know why it's,
I knew,
it's automatic.
I knew that's what it was.
That's why when you asked me what's wrong with you or what's going on,
you
with
had
you,
a
I'm
attitude.
Like, ain't alright.
Look, that's
you. Little... What's wrong with me and your attitude?
Welcome to my world, Shotty. Y'all ready for this intro? Let's get it. That was us sending off our bad moods.
Yes. Send it on through.
So I'll tell you why I'm in a bad mood.
Send it right back.
Because Gabrielle don't have a reason other than I'm in a bad mood.
I just don't like the he and the me, so it made me moody.
So I've been training for a marathon. Mm-hmm. And been running almost every single day outside of like one day a week. I've been doing 6 days a week. Like for what it was week 8. Mm-hmm. So Saturday I was running the best run I've had in 8 weeks. I was outside, I was killing it, I was moving. I mean, I was under 9 minutes a mile pace for 4 miles straight. I mean, I was just feeling great.
Yeah.
And then my left Achilles just started Well, what I believe is my left Achilles, because that's the area. So I kind of tried to look at the muscles and try to figure out, you know, really that's really the biggest muscle that's there. So I'm guessing it's an Achilles issue. Without going to the doctor, you know, at this point, that's what it seems like. So it's just tightened up on me. So, you know, I stopped and stretched it out and kind of walked around and kind of, you know, felt better. So then I was like, okay, I'll keep running. So I ran for another mile and tightened up again. And so so I stretched it out again and, you know, but I was bound and determined to finish that 4 mile set running. So I didn't keep walking. I just stopped in my place. I stopped my clock and I just stretched out and I finished that 4 miles, came back 8:54 mile pace. I mean, I killed it. I felt, man, I was like amazing. But then I tried to go back out to do the 1.5 mile, like little jog that was next, before another set of 4 miles. And I got like maybe a quarter mile down the road and I was like, nope, can't do it. So, cause it just was tight. So then when I came back inside, took my shoes off. By the time I got my shoes off and went upstairs, because they were all upstairs, I literally was, I barely could bend my toes forward. Like, I mean, it was, it just tightened up.
Bend your toes
forward. Like, you know, like flex my, toes towards my
shin. Foot.
Yeah, flex my foot. I could, you know, I could push it down, but I couldn't, like, I didn't have that full range of motion going forward.
Right.
So I haven't ran since Saturday. Today is Tuesday. So we're recording the podcast on time. So congratulations to us. And but I'm pissed off. Because like I was, I mean, I enjoy running. I'm at that point where I enjoy running. So it's like, and I've been working hard.
You have been working really hard. Do you need
some No,
I keep sniffing.
No, it's just my allergies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Plus, I'm anxious because I'm upset. So, yeah. So that's why I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because I want to run. I want to. Marathon's like 19 days away.
Yeah.
So it just sucks, but
it does. It sucks. I was telling babe that it's okay. Done is better than perfect, and you even said downstairs you didn't really know what your goal was for this full marathon.
No.
So maybe even just getting it done is the goal, you know, like,
yeah,
not to put so many expectations on yourself about how it should go. And if you are not feeling it, like, you know you might have to miss the full marathon, because the ultimate goal is the Ironman in November.
Yeah.
So at this point you don't want to risk further injury to mess up your Ironman training. So
true. And that, yeah, exactly. So that's that's why I'm not running. I mean, so I have a running coach, so I talked to him, and so, you know, he just said to, you know, take it easy, which I was going to do anyways, and I'm going to try to maybe get on the Peloton today and maybe just do an easy spin and just see how that feels, and as long as that's not hurting a bunch or anything like that, and I can do it without, you know, irritating that spot, maybe I'll try to do, you know, just a free ride and just try to get my breathing up, you know, just get a good cardio workout session, without putting too much stress on my foot. But yeah, so that's the worst part.
Just are you gonna get it checked out? Like, do you think it's hurt enough to where you should get an X-ray or have somebody look at it? Or
no, I think that if in maybe a couple days from now, if it still feels the same and hasn't improved at all with all I've been doing. I mean, I've been icing it every day. I'm did cryotherapy on it yesterday. I'm going to do it again today. I've been putting, you know, like muscle rub on there. Mm-hmm. I've been elevating it. I mean, I've been doing...
You've been doing everything.
I've been doing a ton of stretching it. You know, foam roll it really lightly yesterday and just to try to, you know, keep the blood flowing through the area. If in a couple of days it still feels the same, then yeah, I'll go get it checked out.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully it doesn't. I mean, I'm probably going to end up taking this entire week off. So, which sucks. On the safe side, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It happens. But it's frustrating. And that's why I'm in the mood, because I want to run.
I hate that you're frustrated.
So
it sucks when Bear is frustrated because he don't have his same like.
But it's personality. You know, it's a part of the process. I mean, it happens to you know, I'm just a regular everyday person trying to, you know, reach a goal in athletics, you know. Imagine pros, you know, when they're, yeah, this is their livelihood and they injure themselves, mm-hmm, and they can't, you know, so you know, mine is, you know, but mine is a first world problem. So it matters a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, it stinks because, like, you know, you set those,
yeah,
little goals.
Why do we feel like we have to say that? Like, first world problems. Is it because you feel like people, there will be people who are like, oh, well, there's somebody that's worse. You know what I'm saying? But I should be, like, yeah, I should be able to express my hurt, disappointment, frustration, anger, happiness, whatever, without fear of somebody throwing salt on it. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, why do I feel like I have to, like, preface it? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's a first world problem. It's my problem. Who cares if it's first world, yeah, third true world? Like, I should be able to express, yeah, what's happening to me without having to,
yeah, I agree,
preface it. I, yeah, just wonder, like, why do we feel like we have to do that?
I think
based off of everybody's reaction, that's probably why we do 90% of the things we do, is because we try to make it easier for someone else.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah, as opposed to being true to.
And here's the thing. It's true. No, you're right. Because, yeah, regardless of what we do in our lives or what we say or how we feel or how we act, there's always going to be a bitter Betty or a bitter Billy.
Mm-hmm. That's going to bring up the other side.
That's going to bring up the other side, mm-hmm, because they're bitter.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah, I just wonder that. Like, because it's not just us because we're on YouTube. I feel like people, just in general.
Absolutely.
Always. It's like we have to justify, or we have to explain, or we have to, like, somebody, I'm guilty of it, you know.
If somebody calls you and you don't answer the phone, like, next time you talk to them, oh, sorry, I couldn't tell you. Why, right, did I say sorry to you?
I don't owe you.
I don't, yeah, have to answer,
like,
the phone.
Why do we...
No, it's true.
We unnecessarily say sorry, like, oh, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Like, yeah, it's a habit.
Because,
like,
I'm not really sorry.
Yeah, it's just habit. It's the, like, things that we do... It's so much that we do that's just on autopilot.
It really is.
That we never really, like, think about, why do we do these things? Why do we say these things?
I think it comes from people that, you know, have, you know, a politeness, you know, about themselves. Maybe it comes from a spirit of trying to be polite, mm-hmm, and courteous, but it's turned into a almost a bad habit.
Yeah.
Of, like, because if I don't answer the phone because, you know, my brother calls me. Say Mark calls me, and I don't answer the phone because I'm just don't feel like talking right now, or I'm doing, right, something else. When the next time we talk,
you don't have to.
I don't have to apologize because I didn't answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but may, you know, but so I think that's the part where it becomes your. Again, it goes back to that. I think everybody has a little bit of people pleasing,
yeah,
in them, where they want to, you know, people that they care about or have a relationship with. They mm-hmm, want to, you know, be, you know, polite and courteous with them, but it shouldn't be to the detriment, as you're saying,
yeah,
of your own.
Yeah, I just thought about that. Like, yeah, why do we do that?
Yeah.
So many things. Yeah. It's like, why?
Yeah. But yeah, so either way, why? Yeah. No, that's a good point. So how many of you do that?
Or, you know, find yourself guilty of doing that. Guilty, like, of that. You probably don't even think about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, probably, because I mean, I didn't think about it when I just, mm-hmm, said it. It just, we do it. I think it's out of, mm-hmm, habit. You know, I think it's comes from a good place. But it's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are instances where an apology is absolutely necessary. But a lot of times it's just the thing we say. It's almost like even to the accepting compliments. Like women, I know we are, you know, bad about this. Where somebody is like, oh my goodness, that's so cute. Oh, this whole thing. Oh, girl, I just got this from Target. Oh, this was on sale. Like, why do we always feel like, why can't we just be like, thank you? Like, there has to be an explanation with what it is. You, yeah, know what I'm saying? Like, just accept what is being said. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's just interesting. It just made me think about.
Well, I think that it's this. We talked about this a little bit. I think that it's this. The society and the world that we live in, like, it's hard to know when people are, like, I think that, like, all of us suffer from a lack of trust in what somebody is saying, like, the authenticity of someone.
Mm.
Because, you know, like, how many times, remember I was reading that book, you know, I'm listening to that book, Think Like a Monk,
mm-hmm,
and he was talking about, you know, how in, and, you know, monks teach about being genuinely happy for someone when they achieve something.
Yeah.
But think about that, though. How many times are you really, outside of maybe, you know, your spouse or, you know, your kids, mm-hmm. like, if your best friend achieves something, you know, really, really awesome, you know, is there ever been this feeling of, dang, I wish I could, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm happy for you, but dang, mm-hmm. I want, you know, man, how could I do that? Or I feel like, you know, man, I could have done that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's almost like it brings in this, like, feeling of,
like, their success is somehow a failure for you.
It shows
like
that you're a failure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way you put it. That their success means that you failed. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that, so maybe that, you know, all of that stuff intertwines of, like, this world. We don't know who is, like,
yes,
really, like, what people's...
Like, we don't want to come off as, you know... Well, I don't want to come off as, you know, braggadocious or...
Yeah.
Like, I'm...
But why can't you brag about something you're proud of?
Humble. And it's... I mean, it's one thing to be humble, but it's also another thing to, like, downplay your success or
absolutely.
What you've done or whatever you're proud of. Like, we should be able to celebrate big and small things without
absolutely.
Fear of... how someone else is going to take it
absolutely.
Or how someone else internalizes it. Because a lot of times people, I mean, they're going to feel how they feel based off of their experience. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
But based off of their experience, they're going to internalize it a certain way. And everybody, hell, we done all had so many different experiences. You don't ever know how somebody's going to internalize it. So it's like you, like, be walking on eggshells to do.
But see, that's pointless.
Or say anything because you don't know how the other person is going to take it. And it's like, can I just live? Like, yeah.
Can I be happy? I think that's the issue is that, you know, unless you are attacking someone personally and you're saying bad things about them and you are attacking them.
Yeah.
Honestly, how someone takes what you're saying about yourself and about your achievements is their issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless you're attacking them, unless you're saying, you know, I did this, but you did, and haha, you suck.
Yeah,
that's an attack, right? So they should take that probably like pretty, like, you know, bad, right? But if I'm saying that I'm really proud that I finally did this, like yesterday, mm-hmm. If you're listening to this on Thursday, yesterday I released my planner for the first, like, the planner I've been, like, it's out. Work Hard Daily Planner. Link
go.
Below.
Work if Hard Daily.
If there's any left.
WRK.
WRK. HardDaily.com.
Yes.
And
so
but,
proud of you.
Thank you, love. But like, if I was saying, well, I just released a little planner. You can do it. Don't you? Yeah, like it's, yes, you can do it. But it's like one of those things where I should be able to say, hey, I'm proud. I finally did this.
Yeah.
I finally released this.
Absolutely.
I finally did years of wanting to do this. I finally did it. Without being worried about how someone else is going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, it's not about them.
Yeah.
And I think we live in a world where everybody wants to make it about themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, if you know, like if I talk with guys like at a triathlon or something, you know, they'll be like, you know, the first thing, it's same thing as a job. Like, what do you do for a living?
Oh,
at triathlon, it's like, well, you know.
What's your highest?
Have you ever done this? What's the fastest you've done one of these? It's always like comparing, mm-hmm. you know, comparing. And it's like. Again, it's this world of like we're always trying to one up someone or.
Yes, I was gonna say, not to cut you off, but
it made me
think about the other side of that too. Like I don't know what I was reading, something where it was talking about how we no longer listen to understand or listen to hear someone out. We listen
to respond
or for that moment where we can. Mm. Interject, like somebody can come and say, oh, I don't know, oh, I just got broken up with or something, and we wait for that moment to be like, oh, you know what, I've been there, I've been broken up with too, like we always
get
and
through
I've
this.
Had to catch myself doing this, like talking, like if you're in a group of people and people are like sharing their story, it's like you have to interject that you've been through the same thing. It's like I don't know if it's because we feel like that's a way that we're connecting, but it's also incredibly rude. Like, let somebody just
vent
or let somebody tell whatever it is that they want to talk about without you having to
fix it
or also, I don't know, say that you've done the same thing. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, you know what I'm saying? If somebody is like telling you about their miscarriage and the first thing you say is, oh, well, you know, I had a miscarriage too. it ain't about you. Like, but there are a lot of instances where we do that in conversation, like, period. And I think that it's, like, because I've had to, like, consciously stop myself from trying to say whatever I felt like I wanted to say in the conversation, because I have felt like it's a way for us to connect. Oh, well, if they know I went through the same thing too, it's a connection. But
yeah,
it is also connection. And hopefully maybe there's a time where you can share that. But when someone is like expressing frustration or telling a story or whatever, you kind of take the moment away from them trying to insert yourself,
make it about you.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if anybody else has noticed that, but I have, like, yeah. I read that and I was like, man, I do that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I think we can all say that
I've done that with you, and I've tried to, like, you know, when you're upset or bothered by something, I try to come in with a fix.
Yeah.
And so over the years, I've learned that I can come with a fix, but I need to do it in a different way. Mm-hmm. I need to let you get it out. I need to, you know, let you be done talking about it, like, yeah. kind of like feeling a little bit better that you got your shoulders, and then maybe we can talk about some solutions from there, right?
Yeah.
But I used to just try to, you know,
try to fix it
right away because I was trying to fix it. Well, that's not necessarily like what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking about what I could say to fix it before you're even done talking.
Yeah. No, it's true. You know, I think I did that today. Like, I immediately was like that toxic, I hate the term toxic positivity, but, you know, I have realized that sometimes we say things to people without allowing them to feel. So, like, today when you were expressing your frustration, my immediate thought was, well, you can do it. I know you can do it. It's okay if you don't have enough time, as opposed to saying, man, I understand that's gotta hurt. Mm, you know, that I understand that, as opposed to trying to jump to fix it.
To fix it,
or
yeah.
It's, whatever.
It's a protective thing, like, that you want to do with the people you love.
Yeah, or like, you know, I wish that I could find, it was this Instagram where it gave instances of things that you could say differently, as opposed to, so like, say somebody, I'm gonna find it because I feel like I read it and was like, man, that is so many things that we don't think about. We just live on autopilot.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
We just...
Yeah, no, it's...
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to try to find it, because it was really like, wow, that makes so much sense. Like...
No, it's... I think I read something, too, while you're looking for that. I've read something about, speaking of toxic positivity, is that have any of you been in this situation, or I know that I have been... I think we both have been in, where you have so much, or you're trying to have so much toxic positivity. And I say it's toxic, that you forget to pray to God and turn to God. Like, you try to.
Okay. I went down that imaginary wrong.
Imaginary wrong pipe.
Is there really a wrong pipe? Is y'all, we were talking about this the other day.
We were, but like. That you're so caught up in trying to be so positive, which is not a bad thing, but that you forget to turn to God and just accept what is and just pray for guidance.
Yeah.
I know that I've done that many times where I'm like, oh, don't worry, it'll be good. Like, you know, we'll figure it out and, you know, God's got us. But did I ever take the moment to stop and say, God's got us, but let's pray about
it. Yeah, but hey, God, let me tell you how I really feel about this.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, like it's good to be positive, but I think that people's, you know, I think that that's borderline where you start, your toxic positivity can turn into trying to do it on your own. And if you're a believer, if you have faith that God's, you know, got us, then you know that you can't do it on your own.
Right, you can't. You just
you know, so... Yeah. So it's when you said toxic positivity, I read something the other day
about that.
Being so positive that you forget to turn to God.
Right. It's like he knows these feelings we have anyway.
Yeah.
So why do we hide them, or why do we feel like we can't express them? Like, it's okay for me to express my frustration or anger or whatever. Like,
I prayed today. I was frustrated.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows anyway, so we might as well be talking about it. Like, look, Lord, I don't understand. Sometimes you just gotta break it down, and that's how I talk to God. Like, my prayers be very much like he's my homeboy sometimes. Like, I, you know, there are the times for the formalities, but a lot of times I just talk, you know.
We're having a conversation.
Yeah, so I found it, and it's peaceful mind, peaceful life. This chick is, her name is Barb. Peaceful Barb is the name of the chick, and she's with someone else. But it's like, have you ever heard someone share their problems with you? So here are some things that we typically say. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Think of all of your blessings. Well, let me tell you about my problems. Or what's the other one? It's going to come back around. It could be a lot worse. These are things, we aren't given more than what we can handle. You're going to be just fine. These are things that, like, we rattle off when people are sharing their frustrations, but it was like, here are some alternatives that you can say instead. Like, I can't imagine what that must be like, but I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. Like, how hard is it to just say that and just let it be? You know what I'm saying? Or, I wish I had the words to ease your pain. I think a lot of times we say these things because we don't know what else to
Absolutely.
Say. Instead of just admitting, I really don't know what to say.
I don't, couldn't, like, imagine that.
I, exactly. Know? I couldn't imagine that. Or, is there anything you need right now? What is, instead of me trying to come up, drum up a solution of make you feel like, let me tell you these words because it's going to make you feel better. What do you really need from me? Or, I'm here to listen anytime you want to talk about it. Or, is there anything I can do to support you in this? So I just thought that that was so, I don't know. I was just like, man, I didn't think about that because, you know, I like to think of myself as a positive person and I always try to look at the positive outcome of things, but there have been times where someone has expressed any emotion to me and I've just tried to blanket it with that, with one of those statements. I've probably said all of those statements before, you know, as opposed to just sitting in it with that person. They obviously feel comfortable enough to share it with you, so
you did a good, this,
why not offer up what they need?
A couple nights ago with someone, when they called you and told you about something they were dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
You did a really good job.
Thank you.
Because I was laying there.
Yeah, thank you.
You did a really good job with just, you know.
Just listening. Just listening. Like, sometimes you won't have the words.
He's like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm, you know, but I'm here for you. That's, I mean, that's pretty much all you said.
Yeah.
But nothing else had to be said because you can't do anything about it. You can't literally do anything other than just pray.
Right.
Like,
it's true. Like, I can't fix it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was a whole tangent, but, you know, I guess there is something to this whole toxic positivity thing because I used to hate that term. Like, you can never be too positive. But, you know, when you look at it a different way, sometimes it's not that positivity isn't what's needed. Yes, but sometimes people need more.
Yeah.
They need something else in that moment. Not taking away from the positivity. It's just something else that's needed.
I agree.
So that was interesting.
That was interesting.
Have you guys ever been guilty of that? Or, like, what are your thoughts on the toxic positivity and all of that good stuff? We got to go to the sponsor.
Yeah.
He's looking like.
I'm looking at Gabriel.
Okay. All right.
She's going to read this one.
All right. It's me. So
if I read this one, it would be kind of awkward.
It would be a little awkward because we are going to talk about bras. Okay. And
Third Love uses the measurements of millions of women.
You guys, we have talked about Third Love before, and I'm here to tell you about them again. I'm actually wearing one of my new Third Love bras, and it's like my new favorite, okay? It's just super comfortable, and it's cute. It's like lacy, but because, you know, sometimes you get those bras that are really cute, but they're not very comfortable. What I have noticed is that their bras, like, check off each. Like, it's comfortable, and it's really cute, so let's talk about Third Love. Third Love uses the measurements of millions of women to design bras with all-day comfort and support. They stand behind their products, and if you don't love it, they have exchanges and returns that are free for 60 days. So when you go on there, when you first go on the website, you take a fitting room quiz, which is a, you know, easy interactive experience that focuses on, like, the shape, breast size, current fit issues, and your personal style to deliver bras and underwear that are perfect for you. So, like I said, the quality and the comfort is there. You know, if you've got a bad bra or a bra that you've been rocking for a few years, because I know how it gets, it's time to let it go because your girls deserve better, okay? Break up with the bad bra and fall in love with one of the better bras. And This is something I'm excited about. There's new lounge by Third Love. So it's made to wear everywhere. And it's a luxe mix and match styles that are like, you know, unofficial uniform for whatever you're doing. Working from home, lounging, running errands. It's premium cotton fabrics. And it goes from sizes extra small all the way up through 3X. So for all of our peeps, all the ones that are listening, Third Love knows your one true fit is out there. So right now they're offering you guys 20% off of your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/LMO to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off of your first purchase. That is thirdlove.com/LMO. 20% off today. Check it out.
Check it out, y'all.
Yep.
What song is that? Check it out.
You're talking about the Living Single. What we have talked about for the last
I was getting you two back episodes. Today. Getting you back today. I'm feeling a little bit of mojo coming back.
You feeling some mojo? Was that a good? I feel like that was a good opening conversation.
It was.
Just, you know.
See, that's the thing. Like, yeah. But that's why I called you on your crap, girl. Called you on your mood. I'm like, girl, she know what?
Stay calling me on my ish.
That's right. We okay. Got to call each other on our ish.
Yes, we do.
That's why I told her I was in a mood earlier.
Yeah.
Just so she would know from the get-go that I was feeling like I was in a mood. Because I think that goes back to, like, the communication, right? It's, it also goes along with what we've been talking about, toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. If I'm not feeling positive,
it's okay.
I'm not feeling good, that is okay.
Yep.
I don't have to fake it
to
make it. Like, I can I can be in a mood, but I should be able to talk to the person that I am, you know, that I love, that's my spouse, my person for life, and say, hey, I'm in a mood. So if I get, you know, if I have an attitude or something like that, it's not you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you why I'm in a mood, you know, why I'm not who I normally am right now in this moment. So I think, and she knew it was already bothering me, but still, it's a good thing for me to tell her.
Yeah.
Because that does open up the opportunity for dialogue and for her to also understand, for spouses in general to understand, maybe running and a marathon and Ironman doesn't mean anything to her outside of wanting to see me achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she doesn't want to do an Ironman.
Absolutely not.
But she knows how much it means to me. So for her, she wants me to do it just as bad because she wants to see me achieve it.
Yeah.
So... You know, but sometimes in your life, there's things that you maybe are doing or dealing with that you want to do that your spouse might not necessarily like, okay, whatever, you want to do that? Okay, great. But they're going to support you. But when you're down about it, or you're frustrated about it, talking to them while you're down and frustrated will help them become closer to the process, closer to what you're doing. Because you've made them a part of it.
Yeah.
So this is why I'm frustrated about this. I know that it's not, you know, this is not your goal, your dream, but you know how much it means to me. And,
absolutely.
You know, I think that's, so it's communication, you know, and it goes in hand with, you don't always have to be, you know, the positive person. If you're not feeling that day, it's okay to not feel good. You know, you've got to get through that.
Right.
And who better to turn to than the person that you, you know?
You can't really process it if you don't accept it. So, like, that's the first step, you know?
Accept it.
Don't judge it.
Yeah. I mean, I journaled about it, and I mean, I said damn in my journal. I said damn. I wrote the word damn.
Why you say that like you wouldn't say damn?
Because I put it on paper. I put pen to paper. I spelled it out.
I cannot.
D-A-M-N.
You're so silly. Anyway, you want to do some questions? Are you in the mood for questions?
Yeah, we can do a couple questions.
Asking all them questions. Let's all pray that we get good questions, okay?
All right.
1 through 3,000. Pick a number, Shadi.
2013.
No, Lord.
It's the year I bought my bike, of which I'm trying to... replace.
You're the maker of world famous pies.
I knew it.
What? Oh, with a secret ingredient. What is the secret ingredient?
Love. No, let's see. Are these like American pies?
I don't know.
Oh, those are great movies, American Pie. All right, let's see.
These questions are raggedy.
Y'all seen American Pie? Remember, he's like, suck me, beautiful. She was like, what? He was a high schooler. She was a college chick. And he was like, suck me, beautiful. He's trying to be all like.
Cool. Trying to be all cool.
She was like, what?
He's, right.
I'm sorry. I don't know. That's hilarious. Let's see. What would I include in the pie that would be a secret? Well, if it's a secret, I can't tell you.
This is all hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. These are all stupid.
It'd be like I'd make the best pecan pie in the entire world, and I would throw in
like Coke or something. I feel like Coke yes. would be your
I was not thinking exactly
like the cocoa.
not the Coke.
Coca-Cola. Yeah, Coca-Cola. Yeah. That would be your secret ingredient.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Coca-Cola.
You're welcome.
Fascinating story about Coca-Cola, though.
Oh, I know. Babe was just telling me this, though, today. I had no idea. Yeah,
pretty crazy. I had no clue. I kind of had heard, but I didn't really know for sure. So I listened to this thing called Conspiracy Theories. It's a podcast. Really good. And they were talking about cola wars, you know, like, so Coca-Cola. And so Coca-Cola was created back in, like, 1884 or 94 or something like that, late 1800s. And it was a pharmacist that created it to try to sell to people, saying that it would beat their dependency or their addiction to morphine. So, like back in the day, apparently, like
morphine was.
Doctors and pharmacists would create things, and whether it worked or not, they would sell it as it did that. And before there was like an FDA and all that kind of stuff like that. So, and so he made it so that basically, if you were addicted to morphine, that you could, you know, do this product. It wasn't a drink at the time. I mean, it was a liquid, but it wasn't like, you know, grab a can of it and drink.
Yeah.
And that it would cure your addiction to morphine. So, yeah, but so it was interesting. So, but basically, how he came around to actually creating. So then he turned it into something, and it was alcoholic, and people was like, no, we don't want to sell that, because there was, you know, alcohol prohibition, all that kind of stuff. So there really was an issue with selling alcohol. So he's like, let me do something different. And so he made Coca-Cola, and it got its name because he took coca leaves, which where cocaine comes from, mm-hmm. and cola beans, which I didn't know that was the thing, and he created Coca-Cola.
Isn't that crazy?
Coca-Cola. So the original Coke had a concentrate of cocaine.
Cocaine.
It was very small, like you would literally have to drink. I mean, you would have to drink a lot of Coca-Cola to get, you know, the
not
effects.
Like, you know,
yeah. But
sorting up cocaine. But
yeah, like, yeah, pretty nuts. Pretty nuts that. So then the guy that bought Coca-Cola from that guy found, he was a Christian. He found a way. He didn't want to sell something that had, you know, cocaine in it. So he found a way to process the coca leaves to get rid of, well, 99.9% get rid of the cocaine, the actual whatever caused the, you know, that that high that cocaine
crazy.
Gives you. Like, yeah, pretty crazy. Like,
so crazy.
Pretty nuts. But yeah, literally, in case you, so fun
that's
fact.
Crazy. Fun fact. You always think about these stories, though, where people like sell off the thing, and then it's like, how do you feel? The person who sells off Coca-Cola.
Well, he died.
I mean,
he died.
So clearly, he's not here anymore. But it's just crazy. Yeah. Like,
he died before it was even
A thing. So he didn't even know what he missed.
Yeah, he didn't know what he missed.
But it's crazy how certain things are
pretty nuts.
Come to be. Which made me think about. I was listening to this webinar or something. You know, Stacy's pita chips.
Yeah.
So like the story behind that is Stacy was actually a sandwich maker. Like, she would have, you know, she, you know, I don't know if it was a farmer's market, whatever it was, she would sell her, like, homemade sandwiches to, you know, to the masses or whatever, and she would then make pita chips off from the scraps. So she would just offer the pita chips, you know, as an extra something free. She'd give them to people while they were waiting for their sandwiches. And eventually people were coming and asking for the pita chips. They didn't want the sandwiches. Like, they were like,
your turkey club's okay, but
you got some more of them pita chips? And like, that's how Stacy's pita chips came to be. Like, it was pure accident. Crazy. Just something that
I like the cinnamon sugar ones.
That she just you know, it was, but the masses told her what they wanted, and, you know, then she sold it to, I think, Coke. Is it a Coke product? She sold it to somebody for like $5 million or $500 million or something crazy. But I just thought it was crazy because the lady was trying to talk about how, you know, your audience will tell you what they want, or like to focus on the one thing, like the really one thing that you offer. Even though you think it may be one thing, it could actually be another thing. So, yeah, nobody really cared about Stacey's sandwiches, but loved her pita chips.
Right. You ain't seen a Stacey sandwich.
You ain't seen a Stacey sandwich. Ain't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Just like Victoria's Secret. Oh, boy, that created it. His wife's name was Victoria. If I remember correctly, his wife's name Victoria. And so
I feel like I do know
this. He created it. Like, but he sold it for $4 million because he didn't really want to put more money into it. He didn't really want to, like, build it. And now look at Victoria's Secret.
$4 million.
You know, like, it's just, you know, but when you don't, you know,
when you don't have the vision,
you don't have the vision for it, and you never, and sometimes too with him, I don't think he even created it in a way that thinking it was going to be.
You know, for him, he's probably like $4 million. Yes, please. Yeah,
no, for him, $4 million was straight. Like he literally just wanted to make nice, you know, lingerie and underwear for his wife, and thinking that other women might want to buy it too. Pretty
Victoria,
crazy.
Victoria, I would be so pissed if I was Victoria.
Yeah, I bet you. Yeah, I bet you, Victoria, mad.
Big mad.
Victoria, you listen.
But that's crazy though. Like, you have to have a certain amount of.
Maybe she suffers from toxic positivity, and she saw the bright side.
I cannot deal with you. Like, it's crazy how you can like have something that's a gold mine, something that's golden. But if you don't have the proper vision to execute it, it literally can be nothing. You know what I'm saying? Or like you holding on to it, you know, he was probably just happy with whatever he was doing. He took this little $4 million and it is a billion-dollar company now. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't have the vision to take it there. It's just really, it's crazy.
Yeah, like my favorite book, one of my favorite books probably as far as like business books, it probably is my favorite, like, stories of a business is Shoe Dog, about Phil Knight and the creation of Nike. That whole story, man, of how,
crazy.
I mean, like, literally what he did. If you want a really crazy, just a cool story of how something as big as Nike was created, you should definitely check out, you know, Shoe Dog, because he literally talks about from the beginning how he even got into shoes, how he... You know, I mean, it's just nuts.
Yeah.
You know, it's from where he started, and like it's nuts.
It's crazy.
It's, yeah, his trips to China to try to figure out the whole manufacturing thing, and like literally, like, I mean, just promising the sale of a certain amount of shoes. Like, I mean, just nuts. I mean, the way that he
to look at what it is now,
to look at what Nike is now. You know, regardless of what you think about the brand and as a whole, just to build like an empire like that, like Nike, regardless of what you feel about the brand, like, you have to think about it went from one person to what it is now.
Crazy.
A worldwide name. You know what I mean? Like, so pretty crazy.
That's crazy. Is he alive?
Yeah, Phil Knight's still alive, I think. Yeah. Yeah, pretty nuts.
That's nuts. Okay, so I'm gonna go with question 75.
Okay, well then I'm gonna
read all the way back to the beginning.
Well, I'm gonna read to you question 75 then.
Okay, you do that. No, you cannot do it that way. There you go. I was like, you cannot.
Oh, I can do any way I want.
You sit anyway.
You sit there and be positive. Anyway, I'm positive. I can do it that way.
I'm positive. They're just struggling.
Okay, whatever. If a movie of your life was made, be on the lookout. Who should be the director and why?
I feel like, oh, okay. We've answered something similar, like who would play me?
Yeah.
Who should be the director about my life? Me.
Yeah.
I would direct it.
We're going to direct our own movie.
Hands down, let me direct it.
Yeah, we're going to direct our own movie. Now, we're going to have some very skilled producers and, you know.
Yeah, I would like to direct it.
And assistant directors, you know, that maybe know what they're like. They know
Ava
what they're
DuVernay,
doing.
Ava DuVernay, she could do it.
Yeah,
yeah. But I would like to direct it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think we bring in, thing is, you can do anything, including things that you don't know how to do, if you find the right team.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so like, it's not about, absolutely. We're not saying that we can go there and just direct a full-fledged movie on our own with no help from people that know what they're doing. No, we want people that are skilled. Mm-hmm. We just would love to have that opportunity to do our own movie. Speaking into existence one day.
Putting it out there.
Putting out there in the universe. In the yes. The and we're going to play ourselves. Like, we gonna get makeup to show us when we were like six. And then we're going to get makeup, show us in college.
I'm not playing.
But you still look the same, no.
I don't look the same.
You can play high school all the way up to where you're at now.
I could, but I don't have my gap anymore. That's the only difference.
They can do makeup. They can put a little black piece of thing right there in the middle to create a gap.
They could give me my gap back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or they just put fake, they put a little piece of paper with your gap there. Like, that's the budget way to do it. But.
I don't want to play me. I just want a cameo. Like, you know how Stan makes the cameos in the...
We'll be the old...
Stanley. Is it Stanley?
Stanley, yeah.
Yeah, just let me make a cameo.
We'll be like an old couple that meets our couple, like like on a date or something. We're sitting at a table next to them.
Right.
And we're like, you are such the cutest couple.
Yes, let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah, that's a scene. We just described a scene for y'all. We're going to be that old couple.
I'm trying to finance this movie about our story,
movie about our story.
Hey,
yes, exactly.
Let's do it. Right. Okay, let's do it.
Well, we're going to do it regardless. But, okay, let me get into our second and last sponsor. And this thing is tripping.
I feel like your iPad been tripping these last few times.
It just don't want to work for me.
I don't ever use Pages. Why don't you just use Files? Is that the same thing?
It's just weird. All right. So, random. Best Fiends. Not friends.
Fiends.
Told you about them many, many times. We've been playing Best Fiends. We worked with them maybe 4 years ago. I mean, we've worked with them on and off for a good 4 years at this point. Really cool game. And as you continue to play, it continues, like, it gets harder and harder to the point where you've got to reach these new achievements and new things per level. And so it continually, you know, gives you more of a challenge each time. And before you know it, you've just been playing for a little while, and you're like, okay, I need to probably eat right now, and then I'll come back and play some more. But it's, you know, really cool because, you know, it can help you de-stress. You know, if you're just, you know, needing to just get your mind off of work, you want to get off of social media, you want to get off of other things, you can just do this, get de-stress. There's no, you know, no strings attached. You can just have some fun. And then it's also challenging, so it makes you think. For us, Chad Jr., he would take the phone quite a bit from me and play Best Fiends. That was something that he really started to like to do, and he's a gamer, so it
literally is
a gamer. So I think at some point in time, we're going to try to, you know, maybe I'll put it on his little phone that just has internet service, and like, we'll just get like a little competition going, you know, a little friendly competition that I'm going to win. Absolutely. But yeah, so it's just a really cool Best Fiends. So there's something new today. That's what they stand on, and tomorrow, and every day after that. So there's literally thousands of levels of play and counting, plus tons of like cute characters to collect along the way. So you know, the fun never ends with Best Fiends. So if you're, you know, getting tired of like solving, you know, of getting games that like end, and you get to the point where there's just nothing new to try to solve, this is where Best Fiends comes in. So, but don't blame us. Blame them if you become slightly obsessed. You know, like, so that's not my fault, not Gabriel's fault.
Sorry,
we're
guys.
Just telling you about them. So for you, for the watchers and listeners of the Let's Make Out podcast, you can download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. So again, that's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. So check them out. Cool game. And yeah, check it out.
Check it out. All right, do we have an Ask Gabe and Babe?
We do. We have an Ask Gabe and Babe.
Babe looked through these, so let's see what he came up with.
Let's see.
Ooh, that was good. Did you hear that?
Yeah, don't tell me about it because I'm sad.
Best feeling ever, cracking your back. Best feeling.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Please keep me Anonymous.
Hey, Anonymous.
Hey, Anonymous. Hi, Gabe and Chad. First off, I want to say that I am an OG peep.
What up?
What's up? I have been watching you guys since way before Siege was born. You guys are by far one of my favorite YouTube vloggers, and it's so nice to see the continuous growth of your channel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shout out to Mama, Nana, Kales, Ray, and Siege. Now on to my question. So I've been online dating since late November of last year. I met a guy on there. We exchanged numbers and began talking from there. On about the second day of talking, he sent me a photo of him shirtless. He had a really nice build to him, but aside from his body, for the short time we were talking, I felt a strong connection with him that I have not felt with a guy in a very long time. I loved his personality, and he made me comfortable just being myself. So after about a week of talking, I asked him for a head-on face photo since the ones he sent me and online were side shots. When he sent me a few shots, at first I was taken aback because he was a lot smaller and had facial hair. To be honest, I was confused at first and called him out on it, not believing it was him. I kind of felt a bit deceived because the initial photos he sent me, he didn't have any facial hair and he was way bigger. When I asked him how previous those initial photos were, he said about a year ago. So my thing is, why didn't he send me current photos to begin with? I was still attracted to him, but just wish he would have been upfront. He felt some sort of way about what I said and said that he couldn't date me after I called him out on it. I apologized numerous times, but he didn't want to hear it. I have noticed from time to time that he still views my profile, and even when we stopped talking, he was still viewing my profile. When I was in the wrong for calling him out? Do you think he still likes me, but still feels some sort of way about what I said? When I had reached out back to him in January, he told me that he was seeing someone for about a month. Sincerely, an OGP.
Okay. For the OGP?
For the OGP.
Okay, so your question is, were you wrong for calling him out? Absolutely not.
Hell nah.
I think that was a very legitimate question that you asked. Like,
Catfish is a real thing.
Catfish is a real thing. Have you seen MTV? Have you seen the show? Catfish is a real thing. Folks is out here doing all of the things, saying all of the things, okay? Mm-hmm. So, no, you were not in the wrong.
Nope.
And honestly, I think you should just go forward. Just move on. Like, I don't even know that it's worth the hassle that it seems like, or even just the brain power. Like, why does dating have to be so freaking complicated? Like, I don't have time to not be able to ask you a question, and then you get mad because I ask you a legitimate question and you got your feelings hurt, so now you don't want to talk to me. Boy, bye. Okay, next. That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. Completely agreed. Look, if the man is going to lie about what he looks like,
okay,
then that's enough. That's three red flags. That's it. Mm-hmm. Bam. Three strikes, you're gone. Because what dumber way to start a conversation with someone that you... Like, you can't change that. Like, yeah, you literally can't never fix that. Like, yeah. Once you say you look like something, like, unless you've been, you know...
I mean, yeah, obviously you can lose weight, you can gain weight, you can do that stuff.
But why? But why be dishonest like that? Like, yeah. I get it. People are sometimes, you know, don't like the way they look, or they're struggling with their weight, or the their self-image. I get that. Mm-hmm. But that's not someone else's problem that you should put on them.
Right.
So he should have never sent you pictures that were a year old, what he says at least.
Right. We don't know.
Of a different person.
Yeah.
Than what he is today. Because that is starting it off on a lie. On a false sense of who this person is.
Yeah. And then there's the whole lack of accountability. Like, even after you call him out,
he gets mad about it?
He gets mad about it instead of fessing up to it. That could have been the prime opportunity for him to explain himself, apologize, move forward. But nope, he got in his feelings. He did the classic flipped it on you and got mad at you and was like, well, I can't even. Okay, you're right. We cannot be together. Because if this is how you gonna act off of that simple question, bruh, I don't want the headache.
Like, just crazy.
I just don't think that it's necessary. So I definitely don't feel like you should beat yourself up. You did nothing wrong in this situation. I think that it's just, you know, showing his true colors. And you be glad that he showed them early enough. Okay. Yeah. So that, you know, you can kind of cut ties and move forward.
Because think about it. Do you really want to, if you guys can't even be honest, if he can't even be honest with the way he looks right now, knowing that you still like him.
Yeah.
Then what else is he willing to lie about? You know, I mean, that doesn't mean he's a bad person. It just means that he's not ready for a serious relationship. And, you know, and that you know, and that just shouldn't be something that you even want to put up with. Like, you know, people in general, man or woman, deserves better than that from the get-go, right? Like, that's not how you should start a relationship off with even, if he would have said, like, our first episode of the podcast.
Babe catfish.
Man. I catfished her because I said that I had a BMW. Yes. But guess what? I could have bought a BMW cash money.
Whether you could have or you couldn't I know that you could have. But
I was trying to impress her and it was a stupid decision in the moment.
Yes.
But then I fessed up to it.
That you fessed up to. And that's the part that matters. That you fessed up to it. Apologize for it. Like, it was, you know what? That was dumb of me.
It was dumb.
Dot, dot, dot. Like.
But that's literally like a vehicle that I'm driving. Like, if I would have said, well, yeah, I'm actually 6'4", black.
Honey.
You know, I'm actually, you know, a very hot, you know, very fine caramel complexion. Oh,
you know, I'm just light skinned, you know.
I mean, come on, man. That's a completely different. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah, there's no coming back from that.
If I would have said that I was, you know, that I was, you know, 175, ripped, chiseled, but I was actually, you know, like 400 pounds, like it's that right there. Those are things that you can't.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's no excuse for that. And I get it. People make mistakes. People do things. It's just the way he handled it.
Yeah. If you called him out,
it could have been different. And that's the telltale sign. Like, okay, so you might have tried to catfish me, but now that I'm calling you out on it, your response.
I still like you.
Everything that I need to know is your response to it. And his response was.
He had the right to be mad?
Right. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You ain't got time for that. Let him see that other person.
Let him. Hey, if he want to watch the profile, well.
Yeah.
Hi. You didn't messed up, shouted.
Exactly. Let him watch the profile.
Okay. Yeah.
Let him see you shine. Right. And be out here gwinning without him.
Gwinning. I hear
you say that. DJ what? So DJ what?
What was his name from Love and Hip Hop? DJ. Was it Envy? Did I make that up?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't Envy.
DJ. Man, what was it?
What was his name from Love and Hip Hop? That was back when Cardi was on Love and Hip Hop.
That was Cardi's
Cardi's homie. I can't even remember. I can't even remember. Gwinnin.
Gwinnin. But yeah, either way, we wish you nothing but the best.
I hope that helped.
We recommend, our opinion is that you keep it pushing.
Keep it pushing. And, you know, maybe the next person will be forthright that you come in contact with and start talking to. Because to me, that's just a red flag. Get away while you can.
Get away.
Yeah. Cool. Do we have another ass game, babe?
No. We're at an hour.
See how, baby, he be vetoing the whole situation?
Veto.
Anyway, this was a good episode. I hope that you guys enjoyed it.
I thought this was good information. I enjoy talking about, you know, moods and toxic positivity things. We didn't even plan to talk about this.
We did.
But I think it you know, hopefully it makes you reflect and think, because it makes me reflect, you know, just talking with you and just realizing how much you try to be strong for the other person and sacrifice your own feelings sometimes, you know, and it's okay to not be the strong person all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, you should be able to be vulnerable and nobody should judge you because you're being vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Potato.
Yeah, don't make me start speaking in a British accent for the rest of the day. We talked about that last night.
We were talking about that last night.
Talking about the Revolutionary War and stuff.
I don't even know how we got on that.
We were talking about the Bible, because we did our Bible story.
Oh, yeah.
And then we kind of got into like just American history in general.
Yeah, we've been listening to the Bible recap. Well, yeah. So we've been doing that plan on the Bible app.
Which is really good,
It's
man.
Really good. Like, it's just, you know, reading through the Bible. But then there's a podcast that goes along
where
with
she
it.
Goes deeper.
Yeah, Tara Lee Cobble is her name, and she like kind of breaks down what you've just listened to in the reading.
She does a really good job of it.
Reading. She doesn't really. Yeah.
There's been some eye-opening stuff. I'm like,
I know. wow. I'm like, dang, okay. So if you're looking for a Bible app to read through the Bible Recap, it's a good one.
Very good one.
All right, you guys, we love y'all. Please, wherever you're listening to this, we would love it if you would rate and review the podcast. We always love seeing the reviews.
That's right.
Share it with somebody if we made you laugh today, if we made you smile today. Share it with a friend. And come on over to YouTube if you're not watching. You know, you can always watch us at Let's Make Out Podcast YouTube. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Make Out Podcast and on Twitter at Let's Make Out Pod. That's right.
And then also you can come over to Gay Babe TV on YouTube. You can check out our vlog channel 3 days a week. And also Gabrielle's channel, The Gabe Fix.
Yes, because I'm coming back.
That's right, coming back strong.
To film a video today.
That is the plan. But yeah.
Today.
But if you don't...
to be closer to you.
Sing it. Okay.
Anyway.
How close you want to get?
Anyway. Oh, and get you a planner.
Get you a planner. That's
get
what I was going to say.
Get you a planner.
There is a limited run.
Yes.
This is the first release of the Work Hard Daily Planner ever.
Yes.
So there is a limited run of pink, black, and gray planners.
Get you one.
Once they sell out, there is another order coming. But
it'll be a while
before those come out. So if you want in the first run,
get it.
Go check it out. Linked in the show notes or in the description box. WorkHardDaily.com. WRK.
Proud of him.
Thank you, love.
You're welcome.
Couldn't have done it without her.
All right. We'll see you guys same time, same place.